I don't know why in my head he's always eating a bag of popcorn. Like watching it, like
big eyes. Is that one of the angels with like multiple eyes? Like eight eyes.
Now it is.
12 eyes around his head.
Oh,
no matter where I turn, I see it everywhere.
Did you guys see it? Bessie, come here.
Gosh. The thunder bore two sons. One he named after himself, the other after the fathers before him, because ego was generational. The thunder lived wild and free to the fullest, laughed louder than doctrine, and when he vanished in a fist-pumping celebration, he left us, his unqualified, unstable sons, to figure it all out. Welcome to the Sons of Thunder podcast, where healing sounds like laughter, heresy is accidental, and joy is our end-time survival strategy. Strap in, say a prayer, and try not to get stuck in the truths that hit harder than a youth camp altar call. Now, let's dive in with joy as our protest. Before we do that, let's talk about, hey, we have a website.
Do we really?
TheThunderPod.com.
TheThunderPod.com.
Be sure you check out TheThunderPod.com. You can sign up to be an official Thunder Buddy there.
You can. I signed up.
I did too. We do have a few Thunder Buddies that have already signed up.
Do we really?
We do, actually, yes. We are creating an email list because we've got merch coming.
We do have merch coming. I'm so excited about some of this merch.
We got some merch.
Epic.
We've got some merch coming. We've got some updates for maybe a couple of live events we're going to do.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even know that.
People want us live.
Why?
I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got some live events coming up. So if you want to keep updated on everything, and here's the deal: our episodes are not been very consistent. We're kind of in an every other week situation right now.
We're trying to work on some of that. But
we're working on it. But yeah, if you want to know everything, if you want updates, if you want all that, you've got to sign up to be an official Thunder Buddy. You also may get something free. So we will have some giveaways coming up, and all of our Thunder Buddies are in the giveaways. So
it's good. There's also a place to donate because to give away things for free.
Somebody's got to pay for it.
That's right.
And we can't afford it. So yes, sign up. Be sure you go to our website, thethunderpod.com. We'll link it wherever this is posted. Thethunderpod.com. We will keep you updated, kind of give you a little backstory of what, you know, where we are and how we got here. So
yeah, it's worth it.
It is worth it.
So go check out thethunderpod.com.
Thethunderpod.com.
You're going to.
And here we go. We're growing a little bit at a time, right? So yep. Yeah, there's that. Welcome to today's episode, which is, what are we talking about?
Sons of Thunder.
The Sons of Thunder episode number, whatever we are. You've got notes and you're in a polo. What is the deal? It's another one of those days.
It was the only cleanest shirt I had. I couldn't find the other
one. We're both wearing black polos today.
Yeah. It's a very serious moment.
Very serious.
That we're discussing today.
Okay. Bring it on, seriousness.
And then we're going to try to figure out how can we thunderize this passage. So I had a thought the other day. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times when... Are we supposed to do like some kind of welcome?
It's about time you had a thought. Yeah, welcome to the episode. We'll do the little intro thing.
High five. Yeah. did you say it's about time I had a thought? Shut up.
Yeah.
But
you said you had a thought the other day. I'm proud of you. First off, I'm proud of you.
I did. It hurt really bad.
We're trying out some new equipment today.
Trying out some new equipment. We are.
It's actually old equipment we're trying to reuse.
Repurposed.
And we are recording. I did format the cards.
Good.
And we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
we'll see. If the quality is any different, we will know. Our producer will know, and he'll let us know if we need to change something. So there's all that.
Probably. So, okay. Our producer's kind of a jerk. He's rude.
He did create the website, though. TheThunderPod.com, in case you're wondering. Yep.
And sign up to be a Thunder Buddy, because if you do, then you get a special note. I wasn't prepared for that.
After you sign up to be an official Thunder Buddy, be sure you look at the next page that you at the confirmation.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's yeah.
So the question I had, so here's what I'm going back to, because a lot of times we'll talk about like our dad and how he was a pastor. Every year he seemed to have like a theme.
Yes.
And you know, you have themes throughout your life. We talked about a life verse. Just blanked out on what that was called.
Okay. I think I know where you're going. Here's what I'll sum up and say. In our episode called Thanks Dad.
Yeah, I don't want to. I was trying to ignore that one.
Yeah, yeah. We did talk in there about life verses, about, right? Wasn't that the episode?
I think so.
Yeah, we talked about life verses, talked about how the things he did that instilled in us. I think that's where you were going for this episode.
It was. So the question is, what is a passage in Scripture mm-hmm. that God revealed to you that put a mark on your ministry, whether it be throughout your entire ministry, mm-hmm. your entire Christian life, mm-hmm. or a season?
Okay.
Because again, we talked about life verses too, and how sometimes it's just for seasons. So
yeah.
The reason I thought about this, I thought about one guy in particular. I'm not going to name his name, but he was a Sunday school teacher I had. Love this guy to death. He's awesome. I think he's even a Thunder Buddy. He may be a Thunder Buddy.
I think I know who you're talking about, and I believe he is a Thunder Buddy.
He would be a Thunder Buddy. But there's two passages that kind of come to mind when I think of this guy, because he always kind of went back to these verses. And if you go, if you listen to him as he would teach Sunday school, this was like sprinkled throughout all of his lessons. And it was great because it's like what God revealed to him.
Yeah.
First, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Mm. He always talked about taking your thoughts captive. Like you have to take your thoughts captive.
Yeah.
And he would continually reiterate that. And it was like, man, that's powerful. Like, and how you do it. The other one was, he was all about grace, you know. So annoying talking about the grace of God.
Yeah, sure.
It's terrible. Romans 5:20, which is funny because actually Sunday school, I'm teaching this in Sunday school, says, "Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more." And he would always talk about, the funny thing is when he first started teaching Sunday school, he told me that, he's like, "Man, I don't like really teaching on the Old Testament. Like I really lean heavy on the New Testament."
Yeah.
And he's like, "I just, you know, it's all about the grace of God, not the wrath of God." And I'm like, well, that's why me and him worked so well together, because, you know, wrath buddies, you know, they reached out to us because we're so much into the wrath.
Yeah.
We're like, yes!
I love the Old Testament.
I love, yeah, it's like, man, there's so much, like.
Love it.
Think about that. Like, no wonder our parents let us watch, like, terrible movies growing up that we would not let our kids watch now. They let us read the Bible.
And the Bible's way worse.
Way worse.
Way more graphic.
We did have one person actually reach out to us and say they wanted us to do a part in Judges.
Okay. Do an episode in the
Judges? Do an episode about one specific chapter in Judges.
Okay. I did get your message on that. That may be a subscription-only version.
It may be, because, I mean, just reading it alone, I feel like, oh, gosh.
Gotta go take a shower.
So I wanted to share with everybody my verse. One of the verses that, I've got several, but there's, I look throughout all the times I've taught or, you know, as I've read scripture.
So this is, you're not talking about a life verse.
No,
you're
talking about
like a
verse.
Ministry impact verse, like a ministry marker in the scriptures that's kind of marked the ministry that God's given you.
Right.
Is that what you're talking about?
Sure.
Because you're not like, so you're not on a church staff.
I'm not.
Right. Officially.
Yeah.
You're a volunteer at a church. You do a lot of
extra
opportunities. But so
it
you're
sounds
talking
terrible.
About,
Joseph will do it.
So yeah, that's exactly right. So you're talking about a verse or a place in the scripture that marks the kind of passionate call to the work of Jesus that you have in your life. Not right. a life verse.
No, not a life verse.
That's very personal, but a ministry working verse.
And it kind of leans more towards like something you read that you've read maybe a million times, and that one time it clicks and you're like, oh my goodness. That's what the whole podcast really is about. Like,
yes.
Finding stuff that you see in scripture and you're like, bro, I didn't know that was there.
Right. Even though I've read it, I didn't know.
That makes us sound... Somebody said, "So what is your podcast about?" Like, and I said, they said,
"Look up on Spotify. It'll say, we don't have any idea.
Nobody knows.
Nobody does."
But somebody asked me, they said, is it something similar to like how you, like you dumb down what you read in scripture? I said, sort of, but it's more like what you read in scripture taught by two dumb guys. We feel you.
It's like, I told somebody earlier today that there's one of the negative thoughts I have, toxic thoughts I have, is you're not smart enough. You know, that's a real thought that I have.
Like, you're
not
smart.
Me, like, I'm not smart enough to do the job that I've been called to do. But then I remind myself, God knew everything. God knew exactly how dumb I was before he called me into this. So I don't have to be smart. I don't have to have real, like, smarts. I don't have to be smarty
to
do my
pants.
Job.
And God also, like, he knew he wired me to just all, everything turns to, like, comedy in my mind.
Yes.
Everything.
Everything's a cartoon.
Everything is a cartoon. I've always said that. Everything is
Which
a cartoon.
Which is why we started our social media with a bunch of cartoons every day.
It is. I thought
we should probably
was,
go back to that.
I didn't know those were even cartoons. I thought that was like, is that not how I look?
That's exactly how I look in a mirror. So your ministry, okay, reel it back in. One of your ministry verses or passages or whatever.
Right.
Is what?
The word, it's one word.
Okay.
Nevertheless.
Okay.
So I taught about this a few weeks ago in for the student ministry, but it's something I remember reading a long, long time ago, and it's not like something new, like, oh, I'm the only one that's ever found out this. You think that? Who's the dumb one now? But it's one of those things where
you thought,
like,
you were going to be encouraged today. Nevertheless, you heard Sons of Thunder.
Nevertheless. When I say nevertheless, it carries a completely different meaning than when Jesus says it.
Correct.
So I remember reading throughout scripture, and it's like I read this passage, and one time a few years ago, it hit me, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is different. This is different.
Okay.
And it was Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Okay.
And he's with his disciples, and he says, verse 39, and going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying,
okay, hang on just a second. Let's set this context up so everybody knows. Because we're just assuming everybody knows what the Garden of Gethsemane is, where he's at, what he's doing.
I'm sorry.
You're making assumptions.
I am.
And listen,
it's really awkward when you call this the Garden of Eden when you're teaching and you're speaking fast, and they're like,
I'll tell you the hardest part about teaching a Bible story that people don't realize. It's all like all of the Bible lessons I've ever taught are here.
Yes.
And so I'm like, oh yeah, in the Garden of Eden here, when Jesus goes into the, and it's like, wait, no, that's not right.
Jesus
is not in the Garden of Eden, right?
It's like, this is the exact same. You're living life just like when Gehazi did this to Elisha, and you're like, what? Yeah.
You know, do you not remember when Mephibosheth was like talking about it?
I worked with the guy one time when it's like, when it's like, you know, I worked with the guy that said, hey, you remember so-and-so? And I was with a buddy, and he said, I don't know who that is. He went, yeah, yeah, you know him. And he went, no, I really,
yeah, yeah,
I don't know him. He goes, no,
you know him.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. He goes, I, dude,
you know him.
And he started getting mad. My buddy was like, I don't know who you're talking about. He goes, okay, but you do.
Right.
And he goes, that's how I feel like sometimes whenever we're teaching, it's like, you guys know. Like, really don't.
I'll be honest. So I was teaching a group of students one time, and they had not heard the story of the flood.
Really?
This group of students, it wasn't here at the church. But either way, here's what I thought. You have to learn that at some point. Yeah. We're making assumptions that they know all of the stuff
we
know, right?
That's true.
So the Garden of Gethsemane, this is a place, we've both been there.
Noah's flood, by the way.
No big deal. No big deal. We've been to the Garden of Gethsemane.
Who am I looking at still?
If people could see where we're at right now, they would see how fancy we have gotten. We're trying out some new things with the podcast today to make it clearer for you guys because we love you so much. I almost want to grab a phone and, like, in fact, I'll take a picture of this and I'll post it. This is part of the inside of our studio. I'm taking this photo right now. Okay, right. They can see this, right? They can see me taking a photo.
They can see you taking a photo.
There you go. Posted. It's on our YouTube. Check it out. Anyway.
Posted.
So we're way off rails. So Garden of Gethsemane, place you and I have been. We frequented it once. It is the place where Jesus, it's right outside of Jerusalem, right? From the Garden of Gethsemane, you can see into Jerusalem, and it's a place where Jesus goes to pray. This is, at what point in his life is he there in your scripture?
We are going at the very end.
Very end. He's got a couple days left.
Yeah, a few hours.
He's at the Garden of Gethsemane. He's there. He's brought his disciples. right? He brought a few of them a little bit closer.
Yep. The inner circle came a little bit closer.
Yep.
And they were tired, so they napped.
They took a nap. Napping is biblical.
It is.
Not great in this point.
Not here.
Not this part's not a good one. So he's going in here to pray, and this garden is just right outside of where he's about to be. He's about to be arrested.
Yes.
Right. That kind of thing, scene's going on.
He's about to be arrested. Okay. I mean, and then that whole scene is phenomenal. Anyways, when right after this happens, you know, Jesus says, "I am He." All the guards fall down.
Yeah.
This whole story is powerful. Phenomenal. Yes. It is so crazy awesome.
Yes.
But again, we got to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they were talking about too some of the olive trees that are there.
Yeah.
Some of those trees are potentially 2,000 years old.
Yes.
So I remember when we went there with Dad, and Dad said, they're like barbed wire fence around it, and yeah. You know, our father is like, I'm going to scale this and touch this tree, and we're like, there's guards with guns. And Dad's like, I'm going to touch it, and they're like, you can't. He's like, can't I? So he's over there like, he goes, I want, and we're like, why are you so adamant about doing this? He said, because this tree potentially audibly heard the voice of God.
Yes. Could you imagine Jesus leaning up against that tree praying, and that tree is alive, so that the life in that tree has heard the voice of Jesus.
That's insane. So I love that.
Great place.
I didn't find this passage until after we left. Like,
I think I've got some pictures from the Garden of Gethsemane. I'll see if I can post them on the YouTube. I'll have our producer.
Oh, will you?
Post them on the YouTube. So if it's, we'll see.
A noise.
We'll see if it's in there. Yeah.
Maybe. If not.
So back to your verse. So here's where we are. We're at this garden in the scripture.
And I love it too, because at this scene, like there's a church built over where the Garden of Gethsemane is right now.
Yeah.
And it's all dark. There's no lights, nothing. Mm-hmm. It's super dark. And it was a powerful moment getting in there, laying down, because you know Jesus is coming to pray, and mm-hmm. he is praying powerfully, because he's like, this is it. This is why I came to this earth.
Yeah.
There's been, you know, I taught during the series called Exhaust, like he spent everything, like all this time leading up to this moment. Mm-hmm. So he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it says in verse 38, then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. So he's telling his disciples, I want you to watch with me. I want you to pray with me. This is hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it says he came this sorrowful. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Jesus is like, this is so hard that we can't even fathom.
I don't want to go through it.
Jesus is saying, this is so hard. Please take it from me.
Yeah. I wonder if we, have you ever said that?
I say it when I have like stubbed my toe.
This is so hard.
You don't know how much pain I'm in. It's like the episode of Friends.
If this pain will pass from me.
It's like the episode of Friends when Ross is like, who is it? Somebody's having a baby, and he's like,
oh, yeah.
You have no idea how much pain I'm in right now.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, I've said stuff like that before, but I mean, think about the physical toll this was taking from a spiritual perspective.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. So Jesus is saying, God, he's praying.
Father,
God,
please.
Father, this is hard. If there's any way, let this pass.
This is literally the hardest thing to ever happen in the history of creation.
Yeah. Please let this not happen this way.
I would love for this to not happen.
Yeah.
And then I always said, I read this word, and I don't know if, I know Dad preached on it, but I know there's been so many people say it, but when it clicked with me,
yeah,
right here, the next thing, he said, nevertheless. So it's like there is like I had chills just now saying just thinking Jesus saying this and a tree listening to him.
Yeah.
Tree. Did you guys hear that? Oh,
I think the tree shook a little bit.
Yeah. Ooh. Mufasa.
Nevertheless.
So I remember
that's what the Sons of Thunder do. We take a serious moment and we crush it.
We ruin it. So I think that he says nevertheless, and in my head, when I saw that, I was like, Jesus, when has Jesus ever not been true to his word? Has he ever failed you?
No.
Has he ever failed you? To the Thunder Buddies.
The Thunder Buddies.
I was asking you first, but you. Has God ever failed you? You may think he has.
Right.
He's not.
No.
He has never, ever failed. If you're listening to this, you may really think that he failed because you're like, why am I wasting my time? But that's terrible. But he's never failed. Jesus cannot fail. He can't.
Right.
I mean, we hear the song, you have no rival, you have no equal. Mm-hmm. He can't fail. It's like impossible. So he's always been true to his word. So when he says, nevertheless, then it finishes off, says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Mm-hmm. We already know from the beginning of time, God set in motion for the redemption of fallen man. Mm-hmm. And in my head, when I saw this, I saw this is where all of eternity hinged. This one, when Jesus said, nevertheless, I feel all of eternity throughout all creation hinged when he said, nevertheless, because he's always true to his word. He already knew what the Father said.
Yeah.
He knew why he came to the earth.
Yeah.
He knew all those things. He knew how hard it was. So I feel like he's like, God, please, Father, please take this from me. Nevertheless, I think as soon as he said that, there was no turning back.
Yeah.
I don't think he was going to turn back anyways, but he verbally said it. And he said, nevertheless. And since that clicked in my head, it's changed the way I view everything.
Sure.
I mean, it's crazy. Can you imagine that scene? Of course, Peter, like, we're like, man, I wish I could have heard that. The trees heard it. The disciples didn't hear it.
Were asleep.
They were asleep. The very next verse says, and he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said, Peter,
all of eternity hinged on a moment, and the disciples were asleep and they missed it.
You know what that sounds like? Sounds like the church today.
Gosh, I knew that was where you were going.
That sounds to me an awful lot.
Well, I'll say this. It doesn't sound like the church globally. It sounds like the church nationally here.
You were say locally.
not real local.
Not globally, but locally in the nation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And people, I mean, I hear so many things like revival's happening. I'm like, man, Jesus already won. What are we doing?
Yeah.
He said, nevertheless, eternity's already, it was decided. It was audibly decided at that moment, and the church was asleep.
The church hadn't been born yet.
He was sitting right there.
He told Peter he would build the church on his statement of faith, but the church hadn't been fully built.
That's true.
Yet. The disciples, the followers of Jesus, were asleep when eternity was changed.
Yeah. And that's one of the verses. I've got others, but that's one that when it was like the first time when you read that and it clicks and you're like, wait a minute. What? That's what's so great about scripture. And that's
so So let me ask you this. How does that affect your ministry?
How does that affect, man?
The way that you do big life. Oh, okay. That's what I was looking for.
Big time.
It affected it bigly. I was going to do it. I chose not to.
I won't.
Huge. It affected it hugely.
It's like, I think, and it's not even the fact of what Jesus said. It was the fact that was revealed to me personally.
Yeah.
When I saw that personally, that's what made me look at all scripture different. Because I'm like, first off, just that context when, like, yes, he was at the point of sorrow that we can't even comprehend. Yeah. He said, nevertheless, your will, not mine. Jesus is always good to his word.
Yeah.
And that also, that changed my thought process of, no matter what he says throughout scripture, he's good to his word. He said, when he said he's going to do this, he's going to do it.
Right.
We've struggled. I mean, people struggle like, well, it's not done in my timing. It's like, it doesn't matter. It's done in God's timing.
Yeah.
And now every time I teach, I approach every lesson. I approach every time I sit down to read the Bible through the lens of, I read this a million times and never saw it. What is he going to do now? What I'm going to read the same thing I've read before. What's he going to reveal to me now? That's what personally, how that passage changed my life in ministry and in everything. Like, wow. Like he took one word and altered the way I view everything.
Yeah. That's power. You almost wonder, does our Thunder buddies, right? When they read the word, what is it that, is there a moment they can go back to that said, this is going to alter the way that you think about everything. Like, this is why the word is alive and active, right? I think that's where we maybe misunderstand the word of God. We think it's an old book that we've read and we do a book report on, you know, pastor, you do a great book report every Sunday. I'm like, no, I'm swinging a sword around and it's cutting you up. Like that's what it's and alive. Thing, it's active.
People realize you're going to look, you look like a lunatic up there.
Yes.
So you're preaching. Let me tell you something. But yeah, I mean, how many times have I read? And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You've probably heard people preach. You've probably heard people say, read that.
Yes.
Like that.
And I've, yeah.
The weight of eternity is being weighed on the Savior of the world.
If Jesus were to say in that moment, let this pass from me, please, I don't want to do this.
I'm not going to do it.
That could have been the next phrase. But the next phrase was, nevertheless. Mm. In that moment, you're exactly right. And I had never even put that kind of weight on it until you'd shared this with me a couple years ago, I think. And whenever you said that,
I'm like calling people, nevertheless.
Yeah.
Like,
could you believe it? Could you believe it? It's kind of like whatever dad said. He preached a sermon one time about whenever Mary and the women went to the tomb.
Oh, I know where you're
said,
going.
He said it was like, he was reading it and it's like, while it was still dark. And he was freaked out.
Why was it still dark?
Because the sun hadn't risen yet.
Have you been able to read that passage the same ever since?
No, because he said it. And it's like, oh my goodness, the sun hadn't risen yet. It's like, so on their way in faith, you know, they were going and it was still dark. By the time they got there, the sun had risen and everything had changed, right? It's like that moment, that hinging moment. Because I remember him talking about how crazy he was. We were living in Knoxville at the time, right? And he was he wasn't even a pastor yet. He was preaching a sermon, maybe. He was a youth pastor at the time, because I remember it was like he came in, while it was still dark. It was still dark when the women went. It was still dark. We're like, Dad, you're crazy.
And this is what I love, because Dad knew Scripture better than like anybody I've sit there, spout it off. And it's like, you knew when he was in his time of studying, he'd be like, whoa, ho, whoa, whoa. And we're like, what, is there a bug on you? Like, yeah.
What's going on? I find myself doing that now, right?
I do too. I didn't used to do that. And yeah. I feel like that's why I love teaching younger people, younger families, younger couples, and like teenagers, because I'm like, guys, you have that awe and wonder of Scripture.
Get there faster than I did.
I can't look at this Scripture and not think nevertheless. And I always hear we need a can of WD-40 that we talked about one of the sponsors. I wonder, like, because in my head, he said, nevertheless, and I think the demons and I think all the enemy was like, what was that?
Can you imagine the enemy listening to Jesus praying?
They're like, yes, we got him.
He doesn't want it. We got him. And he says, nevertheless.
And at least one smart demon was like, oh man. And the rest of them are like, dude, what is wrong with you? He's like, shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You remember when he cast us out? Remember when he did all these things? Like,
we thought we had him, but he said, nevertheless, it's God's will.
Yeah, dude, it's good.
That's a good ministry verse.
It's one that altered. Again, it's not even just the power of that verse. Mm-hmm. It's what it personally did to me. It just completely changed everything. So whenever you're in doubt, whenever you're questioning anything, stop and think to yourself, there was a time when everything was downcast and terrible and awful. But Jesus said one word, and it changed the course of history.
Nevertheless. It's good. It's good. A little shorter episode today.
Yeah.
Packed a punch.
It punched me in the face repeatedly.
Do I get to share a verse?
Maybe the next episode.
Next episode, it will be one of my ministry verses.
Yeah. I can just imagine, too, real quick. I think we got a couple more minutes.
It's way better than yours.
I think we got a couple more minutes. Could you imagine? I'm not going to do it. I was gonna bring in the Brooklyn Angel again.
Jesus is praying, and the angel's hearing it.
He's eating a bag of popcorn. Sounds rough. Sounds real bad. Then he says, nevertheless, oh, did you guys hear this? Oh man.
Oh, that's a big one.
I don't know why. In my head, he's always eating a bag of popcorn, like watching it, like
big eyes. Is that one of the angels with like multiple eyes? Like eight eyes?
Now it is.
12 eyes around his head.
Oh,
no matter where I turn, I see it everywhere.
Did you guys see it? Bessie, come here. Oh,
gosh. Had to get thunderized.
Bam! All right. So,
okay.
That's it.
You've made it to the end. Welcome. Congratulations. Go and find your nevertheless.
Bye.